of Macedon, who stabbed Cletus, his dearest and most loyal friend, at a banquet. After Alexander understood what he had done, he wished to die, and assuredly, he ought to have died. Drunkenness kindles and discloses every kind of vice, and removes the sense of shame that veils our evil undertakings. For more men abstain from forbidden actions because they are ashamed of sinning than because their inclinations are good. When the strength of wine has become too great and has gained control over the mind, every lurking evil comes forth from its hiding place. Drunkenness does not create vice. It merely brings it into view. At such times, the lustful man does not wait even for the privacy of a bedroom, but without postponement gives free play to the demands of his passions. At such times, the unchaste man proclaims and publishes his malady. At such times, your cross-grained fellow does not restrain his tongue or his hand. The haughty man increases his arrogance, the ruthless man his cruelty, the slanderer his spitefulness. Every vice is given free play and comes to the front. Besides, we forget who we are. We utter words that are halting and poorly enunciated. The glance is unsteady, the step falters, the head is dizzy, the very ceiling moves about as if a cyclone were whirling the whole house. And the stomach suffers torture when the wine generates gas and causes our very bowels to swell. However, at the time, these troubles can be endured, so long as the man retains his natural strength. But what can he do when sleep impairs his powers and when that which was drunkenness becomes indigestion? Think of the calamities caused by drunkenness in a nation. This evil has betrayed to their enemies the most spirited and warlike races. This evil has made breaches in walls defended by the stubborn warfare of many years. This evil has forced under alien sway peoples who were utterly unyielding and defiant of the yoke. This evil has conquered by the wine cup those who in the field were invincible. Alexander, whom I have just mentioned, passed through his many marches, his many battles, his many winter campaigns, through which he worked his way by overcoming disadvantages of time or place, the many rivers which flowed from unknown sources, and the many seas, all in safety. It was intemperance in drinking that laid him low, and the famous death-dealing bowl of Hercules. What glory is there in carrying much liquor? When you have won the prize, and the other banqueters, sprawling asleep or vomiting, have declined your challenge to still other toasts. When you are the last survivor of the revels. When you have vanquished everyone by your magnificent show of prowess, and there is no man who has proved himself of so great capacity as you, you are vanquished by the cask. Mark Antony was a great man, a man of distinguished ability. But what ruined him and drove him into foreign habits and un-Roman vices, if it was not drunkenness and, no less potent than wine, love of Cleopatra? This it was that made him an enemy of the state. This it was that rendered him no match for his enemies. This it was that made him cruel, when as he sat at table, the heads of the leaders of the state were brought in. When amid the most elaborate feasts and royal luxury, he would identify the faces and hands of men whom he had prescribed. When, though heavy with wine, he yet thirsted for blood. It was intolerable that he was getting drunk while he did such things. How much more intolerable that he did these things while actually drunk. Cruelty usually follows wine-bibbing, for a man's soundness of mind is corrupted and made savage. Just as a lingering illness makes men querulous and irritable, and drives them wild at the least crossing of their desires, so continued bouts of drunkenness bestialize the soul. For when people are often beside themselves, the habit of madness lasts on, and the vices which liquor generated retain their power even when the liquor is gone. Therefore, you should state why the wise man ought not to get drunk. Explain by facts, and not by mere words, the hideousness of the thing, and its haunting evils. Do that which is easiest of all, namely, demonstrate that what men call pleasures are punishments, as soon as they have exceeded due bounds. For if you try to prove that the wise man can souse himself with much wine and yet keep his course straight, even though he be in his cups, you may go on to infer by syllogisms that he will not die if he swallows poison, that he will not sleep if he takes a sleeping potion, that he will not vomit, and reject the matter which clogs his stomach when you give him hellebore. But when a man's feet totter, and his tongue is unsteady, what reason have you for believing that he is half sober and half drunk? Farewell. Letter 84. On Gathering Ideas. The journeys to which you refer